Isaiah chapter 40, beginning from verse number 28. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Though youth grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. I've chosen to preface the lesson tonight with this passage for two major reasons. Number one, to remind us more powerfully than ever as to the source of our strength, as to the source of our comfort. It is found in God. Secondly, also to remind us and connect to the morning's lesson that whatever we are, or whatever we have become, whatever we have achieved, whatever success that we have in this world comes from one source and one source only, God. But the world would want us to believe that it is all because of our toiling. It's all because of our striving. It's all because of our drive. We've set goals and we met the goals. Yeah. This passage did not mean much to me about 15 years ago when I was a vigorous young man. I could jump out of bed and run 5 miles and not necessarily break a sweat. Today, I can't even run half a mile without being hopelessly out of breath. That reminds us, really, that every day we need to be grateful to God, because every day of our life we are approaching that day that has been guaranteed to everyone. Imagine not being weary or tired. Imagine having a daily source of increase in power. But of course, we know that this passage is not necessarily about the physical. It is also more about the spiritual. It is through God that we have that inner strength to continue to endure. Because, as I mentioned in the morning, it is a very, very evil society and is getting increasingly violent. It just reminds me as to the reason why God destroyed the world in the first place. To the weary soul, the Lord gives strength. To the tired folks, he energizes. But I'm really very interested in verse number 31. Just think of this verse in terms of the physical, especially if you are older like me. I don't know that using the word old is supposed to be politically correct, but that doesn't really matter. But if you're old like me, so running and not being weary, walking and not being tired, soaring like an eagle. Why? Because our strength is renewed by waiting upon the Lord. What an idea. What a beautiful idea. You see, but what does the world has to offer? The closest thing is what is known as a five-hour energy, which I cannot even take without suffering heart palpitation. I've always asked myself when I see the ads, come on, so after 5 hours, what next? I don't know. I don't take it. Maybe those of you who do, you can tell me. In the world today, when we grow old and weary, we get replaced by another who is willing and able, another younger person who is willing and able to take our position. If we are fortunate, we get retired with pensions or benefits. But if we are not fortunate, maybe by the time we retire, the company will have folded, and then our lives become, we don't know. And sometimes that is when some people come back to God. I invested 40 years in this company, and now I'm left with nothing. Maybe if you had invested a day with our good Lord, your life will be worth something. When we take this passage in Isaiah to Philippians chapter 4 and the verses 13, of course we know what that place says in Philippians 4 and the verses 13, where the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Then we begin to really get a better idea as to where success really comes from. As I mentioned in the morning, I said that success is not even a concept, because it's a concept you can understand. It is a construct, and a construct is really something that is ill-defined and most certainly unmeasurable. Therefore, it is an illusion. So the world offers us an illusion called success, but God offers us salvation called Jesus Christ. Why is it that people still choose the illusion instead of Jesus Christ, where you have joy and abundant life? This evening, of course, we continue with the theme of life in the minefield, and on the topic, minefield of success. And we are drawing a sharp contrast between the world's idea of success and God's idea of success. And of course, the central idea I want to convey is that God's ways are not our ways. Therefore, we must always walk by faith, not by sight, trusting that God will be faithful to his promise. He has never failed us. God has guaranteed us that he can do everything and anything for us. Because in Jesus Christ, when he suffered the agony of watching his only son to take our sins upon himself and take our place on the cross and was separated from him, God has guaranteed us that he is faithful and will do anything for his children. And when that tomb could not hold our Savior, then he assures us once again that all power, all authority has been granted unto him. The power to defeat our most dreaded enemy, death. We are going to look at two individuals that loom large in the New Testament. And through them, we see that God's standard for success is clearly different from the world's. And if we understand that, maybe there'll be more happiness in our lives. There'll be more joy in our lives. Our lives will have more meaning. Because as it is, if we just follow the world, it's going to be meaningless. The more we acquire, the more we want more. The more we strive, the less close we get to that. Because if you're striving for something that is not defined, how would you even know when you acquire it? It's very interesting that in the New Testament, the two key figures, Peter and Paul, if they were to be today in the world, they were not even qualified to be given employment in most places. Let's look at Peter, the man who did not pass the interview, who then later became the pillar on which the very company, I mean the church, was built. Let's go to Mark chapter 14, beginning from verse number 27. And I know that we always go to Peter sometimes to see how he's always putting his foot into his mouth. But God really uses Peter to teach us a whole lot of things. In Mark chapter 14, we are going to begin from verse number 27. And I know we have always read this passage as Peter's denial of Jesus Christ. But let's look at it tonight from the perspective of a job interview from the owner of a company. And let's begin from where the interview, especially this is the last one, begins in verse number 27. Then Jesus said to them, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. Of course, you notice what happened next. Peter opened his mouth. Peter said to him, even all are made to stumble, yet I will not be. Failure number one, failure to pay close attention to what is being communicated. He did not even understand what his master said. And I'm sure that if this were a worldly interview, somebody's already put in whatever they put in that column that says, do not hire. Jesus said to him, verse number 30, assuredly, I say to you that today, even this night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. But he spoke more vehemently, if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And they all said likewise. This is another failure right there. You are contradicting the person who actually has the authority to employ you. I say, no, I don't think what you're saying is right. Failure to grasp the import of what is being communicated. Now, you notice that whenever you're applying for a job, some serious job, they have all those skills and dispositions that are required. Verse number 32. Then they came to the place which was named Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. And he took Peter, James, and John with him, and he began to be troubled and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch. Now notice, that was the direct instruction. Stay here and watch. He went a little further and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. Then he came and found them sleeping and said to Peter, Simon, are you sleeping? Now, what was the instruction prior to this? Another failure. Another check in do not hire column of the world. Simon, are you sleeping? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Now, that's another directive. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again, he went away and prayed and spoke the same words. And when he returned, what happened? He found them asleep again. Now, probably if you were interviewing for a job at this time, some people might decide to take a break and tell you that we will notify you of the outcome of this process, which is a fancy way of telling you, you ain't getting no job. And when he returned, he found them sleeping again, for their eyes were heavy and they did not know what to answer him. He came the third time and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? It is enough. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. So far, we have noticed a whole bunch of failure. Peter has not passed any of the critical tests. Now let's drop down to verse number 66. This will be the trust test. And of course we know that prior to this, Jesus had already told Peter point blank, you are going to deny me. Now, as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servants, girls of the high priest, came. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, you were with Jesus of Nazareth. But he denied, saying, I neither knew nor understand what you're saying. And he went out of the porch, and a rooster crowed. That's another failure. How can I trust you if I hire you, if you cannot even admit that you know who I am? And the servant girl saw him again and began to say to those who stood by, this is one of them. But he denied it again. And a little later, those who stood by said to Peter again, surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean, and your speech shows it. Of course, it's like when everyone preaches and myself I preach, you know that I am a little bit different. Then he began to curse and swear, I do not know this man. Of whom you speak. A second time the rooster crowed. Then Peter called to mind the word that Jesus had said to him, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me thrice. And when he thought about it, he wept. This is even the worst kind of failure in the mind of the world. This is a weak man. Of course, we have accepted this false notion that men don't cry, men don't show emotion. So CEOs are not supposed to show emotion. You're supposed to be heartless. And many of them are really without a heart. I don't even know how they breathe. So here in this encounter with Peter and Jesus, we see that he has flunked this test. He has flunked this interview. But what happens when Jesus was resurrected from the dead? Let's go to John chapter 21. Beginning from verse number 15. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Now, we all know that if this were to be a worldly interview, Peter would not even merit the customary phone call that the employer usually sends a very lowly placed staff to you, expressing their regret that you were not chosen as the candidate. But what we notice there is that when Jesus was resurrected from the dead, he sought Peter out. He lifted him up. He restored him and he elevated him. Do I need to make any more case as to how the standard of the world in terms of success is different from that of God? Thanks to Peter, I know that a poor wretch like me, that I have multiple chances with our Father. The world talks about second chances. I never know where that one came from. I guess that tells us two strikes you're out. But here, there's just multiple chances. Why the world looks from the outward, God looks from the inward. For he knew the heart of Peter. That was the man with a broken heart. A man whose heart, who was emptied of himself after undergoing through these trials. And he was ready to be filled with the grace that only Jesus can give. Even though Peter was a serial failure in the eyes of the world, in the eyes of the Lord, he was one in need of strength. He was one in need of mercy. He was one in need of grace. I don't even know if there's anything like grace in the corporate world or even in the government world. I don't know. That word does not exist. You just get what you deserve. I think there are people who so delight in getting people fired. You mess up once, you are gone, or you are going to damage the reputation of this corporation. Well, the corporation doesn't even have any good reputation to start with. But that's a different matter altogether. God turned Peter's failure into a success. So we can actually say that Peter was a successful failure by the grace of God. Let's look at Paul, whom I would like to see as the chief operations officer. The influence of Paul in establishing and strengthening the church is well known. It's legendary. I need not even go there. And as we know, he was, in terms of credential, Paul was eminently qualified. I guess a quick note there just to remind us, yes, God expects us, as I mentioned in the morning, he expects us to excel in everything we do. But what I've always found puzzling is, why is it? Well, why Paul was qualified in terms of his impeccable credentials, and some of them we'll find in Philippians chapter 3, beginning from verse number 5. In Philippians 3, Paul just lists a few of those. He says, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning righteousness which is in the law, blameless. In fact, he was a prominent and preeminent person. But, you know, Paul had what they would call today a pre-existing medical condition. And I can't think of any company who would want to hire somebody who has pre-existing medical condition, because they would be thinking, he'll be taking off every other day to go see his doctor. And what I've also found very puzzling is why the good Lord did not remove it. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's go there. Beginning from verse number 7. I believe our elder Bill mentioned he hovered above this territory last time. 2 Corinthians 12. Beginning from verse number 7, and the apostle, and through inspiration, writes, "Unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this sin, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." If there's anything I've learned in terms of leadership, is that if you go to any interview and try to dwell on your strength, on your weakness, forget it. You are not going to be called back. Amen. For some strange reason, you're not supposed to have weaknesses. You're not supposed to have faults. You're supposed to be flawless. You're supposed to be perfect. How can you expect perfection in an imperfect society? "Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Try explaining this to a hiring officer, a human resource person. "When I am weak, I am strong." And they will look at you and say, "Have you seen a shrink lately?" As we know, the nature of his ailment is not known, but its effect was severe enough to warrant him asking 3 times, to pleading 3 times to have it removed. But it was not removed. And with that ailment, with that thorn in the flesh, this was a man who probably did more than anyone else in the New Testament to establish churches and strengthen churches. Have we really learned anything about how God operates in our lives? God overlooked all the headier ones and instead chose a flawed messenger to carry and execute his perfect message. The world desires and requires flawless candidates and makes no allowances for failures. The world requires a candidate full of self-confidence and drive. Hence, we have people who are so full of themselves that they simply just drive us crazy as they enumerate the accomplishments. Now, one of the things that I learned before my feet touched in America was when I was applying for grad school, and I've written something about being to be admitted. And then I gave it to an American to read, and she read it and said, this will not fly. I said, what do you mean? I just stated the fact. No. And she said, well, let me put it this way. You are not tooting your own horn. That was the first time I heard that. Why do I need to toot my own horn? Well, you have to sell yourself. Why do I have to sell myself? I've just stated the fact. Well, take it from me. They will not admit you if you send this thing to them. You have to tell them what you have accomplished. But do I have to do that? Yes. We live in a society where we have been conditioned to be so full of ourselves. Everything is from us and about us and for us. God, on the other hand, uses candidates who are emptied of self so that they can be full of faith. Candidates who are unafraid of failure because they know that when they fail, then God has an opportunity to demonstrate His compassion, His grace. Candidates who are weak because they know that when they are weak, then they are strong, because through their weakness, God's strength will be made perfect. Who and what we are, we should consider to be a gift from God. Whatever accomplishments we have, we know it's a blessing from God. This evening, if the reason why you are not fully utilizing your talent to serve the Lord is because you feel unqualified, I submit it to you that you are now without excuse. You know that God is looking for weak candidates. He is looking for flawed people. He is looking for failed people so that through you, He can demonstrate what He is capable of doing. God is still in the business of restoration. God is still in the business of renewal. God is still in the business of reaffirmation. And sometimes some of us, when we fail, we almost just want to give up. Why? That's probably an indication of a bigger problem. I've failed in many things, but thanks to God, I have multiple chances. Tonight, there's no more excuse for anyone not to step up and serve the Lord, because all of us are more than qualified. So if there is anything that we can do for you this morning, if you're a child of God and you need strengthening, or if you're not a child of God and you need to connect with God and you need to become a child of God, we are offering you this invitation. For those of us who are already in the body, God offers us that famous call, invitation: come unto me, all ye that weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But to those who are not children of God, this is your opportunity to come and put on Christ through obedience, by hearing the word, believing the word, repenting of your sins, and confessing Jesus Christ, and being baptized so that you be a new person and taking up your cross and following Him daily. If there is any way we can be of service to you tonight, why don't you step forward as our brother leads us in the invitational song.